Hebrews chapter 4, and let us pray. Father, we thank you for another glorious time of fellowship with you as we gather here this morning in your holy name. We thank you for your presence in our midst, for you are faithful to your promises. You always keep every word of promise you have made. You said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, you said, there you are in the midst of them. And so we know you are here, and we acknowledge your presence. We honor you. We reverence you. We welcome you. And we declare that your presence is the most important thing to us here today, because we know that it is in your presence that we can find fullness of joy, and it is at your right hand that we can find pleasures forevermore. All our needs are met in your glorious presence. You are El Shaddai, and there is nothing you cannot do for us as long as you have promised to do those things in your holy written word. And so this morning we take the limits off of you, and we say, Lord, stretch forth your hand to meet every one of us at the point of our need, according as we hope in you, just as it is written in your holy word. Thank you for helping every one of us to taste of your goodness anew today, so that at the end of the service, when we go back home, we'll go with fullness of joy, knowing that God has done something new in our lives. Thank you, mighty God, for your faithfulness to us, now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4, and let us read together from verse 14 to the end. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Let's go. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Please underline in your Bible the very last phrase there, in time of need. In time of need. In time of need. In time of need. As long as we are in this world, every one of us, at one point or another in our lives, will be in that situation, a time of need. Everyone. There is no human being here on earth that hasn't passed through or is going through right now some time of need. Your need may be spiritual. It may be emotional. It may be physical. Your need may be material. It may be financial. In any aspect of life, we will always have need of help at some point in our lives. Family needs, relational needs, need on the job, need in the business, need in every sphere of life. And we have to understand very clearly, particularly as Christians, what we need to do in the time of need. In most cases, we are not well prepared for times of need. That's why oftentimes, when those times show up in our lives, we end up doing the wrong things. We end up panicking. We end up also many times blaming others for our condition, or just, you know, feeling frustrated within ourselves. But if we take time to study the Word of God and get to understand what Bible says about time of need and what we need to do, we'll be well prepared. You see, when you are well prepared, nothing will take you off guard or catch you off guard. Isn't that so? So we need to understand what must be done in the time of need. Now, in verse 14, the first thing we must understand clearly in this passage is that we have somebody to help us. So never say there is nobody to help you. The help that you need is not going to come from man. The arm of flesh will fail us. The help that we need as Christians come from Jesus, the head of the church himself, not from any man. Our help doesn't come from any created being. Our help comes from the Creator himself. In fact, put your finger right there. Let us go to the Old Testament and turn to the book of Psalms. Does not matter how difficult your experiences may be, or my experiences in life. Does not matter how many needs show up in our lives at the same time, because sometimes when you go through life, you don't just have one need. You have several needs at the same time. And many times when we consider the various needs we have, we just feel overwhelmed. And that's the truth, because we don't know what to do on our own. We just can't figure out how to get our needs met. But then we have to remember that God has not called us to meet our needs ourselves. God is our Father who is in heaven. He is the one who supplies our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus taught us to pray looking to the Father every day for our daily bread. Isn't that so? He never said, well, you go and eke out by your own human effort your daily bread. You know, don't get me wrong. We know we have to go to work. We have to do all those things. But then we have to remember that in going to work, in doing whatsoever we do, the business we do, even our career when we go to school, we have to remember what God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that he is the one that gives them the power to get wealth. Because you can go to work and toil all day long, and at the end of the day, your effort amounts to nothing. Like Peter toiled all night and didn't catch anything. And yet Jesus shows up in the boat that same night and says, well, take that net, throw it back in the water the same night. And Bible says Peter caught such a large catch that his net began to break. So what are we saying? Jesus made the difference. Isn't that so? The best of your effort and the best of my effort is just not enough. We can do our best, but then God is the one that will bless the best we have done and make that best to count for something. Otherwise, at the end of the day, our best effort will count for nothing. So we have to understand that in doing whatsoever we do on a daily basis, our help comes only from God. He is our source of help in the time of need. And in Psalm chapter 3, look at what David. You see, David was a man after God's heart, and because of that, the Holy Spirit gave him much revelation of Jesus Christ, even before Jesus came to this earth as a man. In verse 1, he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Before we go to the next verse, how many of us have been in that kind of condition? Well, we've all been there. Isn't that so? And if you haven't been there already, sometime you will get there. You will get to the position in life where so many people are just against you. You just don't know what you have done. They are just against you. You have not done anything wrong. Well, you know, the devil will always stir up opposition against you. You have to understand that. Read through the Bible. Everybody that walked with God, the devil stirred up opposition against them. They didn't do wrong, yet the devil stirred up people to be against them. Look at all the apostles. Everywhere they went, devil stirred up opposition against them. Even Jesus that came to this earth and had no sin. Look at how much opposition the devil stirred up against him. And Jesus said, "The servant is not above his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Ah. So say to your neighbor, it's too late to jump out of Christ now. They'll say, "Well, I didn't know that being a Christian will bring persecution my way." Well, that's part and parcel of the calling. But the truth is that you have already overcome all these things in Christ Jesus. Now, look at the next verse. Verse 2 says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." So circumstances that are contrary to us will speak to us. And people that know what we are going through, who really don't like us, or even some who proclaim to like us but are ignorant, we say, "Well, your condition, my brother, is a serious one. I don't see how you can overcome that one." Oh, I know some other people who went through what you are going through. They just never made it. Well, you better learn not to listen to what people are saying. You better learn not to listen to what your circumstances are saying to you. Because circumstances speak to us all the time. When you are in trouble and you use your mind to try to figure out a way out of that trouble and you can't figure out a way, well, your mind will say to you, "There is just no way." That is that circumstance speaking to you in your mind, the devil using the situation to get you to feel that there is just no way. But it does not matter what the devil says. Say to your neighbor, it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the circumstances that are against you say to you. It doesn't even matter what your own human understanding may be in that situation. What matters is what the Word of God says. And your decision to live by the Word of God rather than lean on your own understanding. Amen. So here is David going through difficult experience of life. Many things are against him. Many are saying to him, "There is no help." In other words, just forget it. You can't make it. Throw in the towel. But look at the next verse. Let's read that together. I love that. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head." Ah, look at what David did. He spoke up on the inside the word of faith and trusted in God to be his source of help. When many are saying there is no help for you in God, you are not going to make it in this situation, you can't overcome this circumstance, he decided to believe God within himself. He said, "But thou, O Lord," I don't care what people are saying. I don't care what the circumstances are saying. I don't care what the devil is saying to me through the difficult experience I'm going through. All that matters is that I know you, O God, that you are my shield. You are my glory. You are the lifter up of my head. In other words, there is nothing that will make me to be defeated. I'm going to rise up in victory over every situation. So that's the first thing he did. He spoke up a word of faith on the inside. You see, you have to rise up on the inside to resist the enemy that is coming against you from the outside. That's why the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can't fight the battles of life relying on carnal weapons. We don't war with fleshly weapons. We war with spiritual weapons. And faith is the shield that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked ones, Bible says. You have to hold up the shield of faith. And so that's what David is doing here. And then the next verse, we shall come to that later. The next verse, he prayed. Say to your neighbor, when you have believed God in your heart, then you cry to him for help in prayer. So it always begins with faith in the heart. You have to believe God, that God is your help. You have to settle that in your heart. And then you take the second step and pray. And then God will step in and help you. That's the way it works. So he said in verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Isn't that wonderful? The trouble didn't kill me. The trouble didn't take me away suddenly. I cried to God because I believed there is help for me in God. I cried to him in prayer. He heard my voice in prayer. He sent help to me. And here am I, alive. Here am I in victory. And all those who said to me, there is no help now, they've been put to shame. Because God has helped me. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God has planned for us all. He wants us to have the victory at all times and in every situation. But we have to understand what to do. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. And please get your pen and paper ready. Just going to give you a few points to take home and meditate in. Again, verse 14 says, seeing then. So we all have to see this. We have to see it with the understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit. We have to see clearly with our spiritual eyes that we have somebody to help us in every situation of life. And that person is Jesus. He's our great high priest. You see, a high priest is somebody that ministers to the people on the behalf of God. So it's somebody that stands between God and human beings, so to say. Let's put it that way. Because that was the position that God put Aaron as a high priest in the days of the Israelites. So Aaron was the one that would go before God once in a year, remember? Nobody else could go into the Holy of Holies. He went there once in a year, Bible says, to atone for the sins of the whole people. He made special preparations, and then he would go there into that Holy of Holies where God's glory was present. And he would sprinkle blood there in order to atone for the sins. And because of him interceding for the camp of Israel, the mercy of God will be upon the whole camp. Now, Jesus, as a better high priest, Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews that we are reading here this morning, that the high priesthood of Jesus is superior to that of Aaron. Aaron's high priesthood was temporary. That was why he had to keep going every year and every year, you know. And after that, he had to go again and again and again, because the blood of bulls and goats could not really take away sins. It was just providing temporary covering. But Jesus has brought his own perfect blood to take away sins once and for all. And not only so, Jesus is alive. He is not a dead high priest. Aaron lived and died. But Jesus died and he lives forevermore. So the high priesthood of Jesus is eternal. It is everlasting. That is why you can have faith in him at all times. No matter the situation, no matter the condition, you can trust in Jesus at all times because he is alive. And he can take care of you and he can stand before the Father and plead your case right at the throne of grace in heaven. So you put your trust in Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So again, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So the way we are going to be able to hold fast to our faith is by understanding Jesus as our high priest. Jesus that is there to help us. Jesus that is always available to make the difference in our circumstances. So when we have a clear understanding of that, we'll start in faith and continue in faith until the end. We won't give up. We won't start one moment and then the next moment we throw in the towel and say, well, I believe God for that. I've been believing God now for several weeks. I haven't seen any improvement. I've been standing on the word of God for so long. I haven't really seen any change. See, you won't be thinking that way anymore as a Christian when you understand the high priesthood of Jesus. Because you are not relying on yourself. You are relying on Jesus. And you know Jesus cannot fail. Jesus has come to this earth and showed all of humanity that it is possible for somebody to live here on earth and please God. And now he's gone back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand side of the Father. He's entered into rest. And he has invited us to come by faith and enter into his own rest. Because he's our rest, you see. And when we have faith in Jesus and we cease from our own human effort, Bible says we enter into rest. And Jesus' finished work can then make the difference in that situation. Why? Because there is no need in your life that Jesus has not already provided for. That's the truth. Jesus made the provision before you had the need. That's what you have to remember as a Christian. God is not just trying to meet your need because you have a need now. He already provided for the need even before you were formed in your mother's womb. God made the provision already from the foundation of the world. He made the provision. He finished the work from the foundation of the world. And so no matter what your need may be, God already made the supply available. I remember, you know, hearing from a man of God several years ago, how God showed him a vision. And in that vision, God took him to heaven and he saw a room where there were so many shelves. And on either side of that room, there were rows of shelves. And he saw all parts of the human body. He saw eyes, he saw noses, heads, fingers, toes, name it. Every part of the human body, liver, lungs, kidneys, he saw plenty. And the shelves were full. And he was wondering in that vision, what does this mean? And then God explained to him that, you see, all these are spare parts for everybody that I've created. All of mankind that I created, I made spare parts for every part of their body. And then he's wondering, why is it that the shelves are full? And then God told him, it's because they are not coming to... They are not coming to receive. They are not coming to receive. In other words, they are not coming by faith to receive. So the things are there for them, but they are not coming to get them. You see how we starve ourselves because of our lack of faith. Because the key to pleasing God is to have faith in him. When you have faith, God already has the provision. And then he can minister that to you. And you and I know, you know, from experiences that we've heard about some people who had incurable disease. I've heard of people that the doctor already told them they will never have a child because they don't have womb. There are missing parts of the womb. And then they go to crusade somehow and God just puts new womb there. And they are able to have children. And the doctor checks them. He can't understand how they now have complete womb. Where did they come from? They did not do surgery. But God put it there. Because they had faith in God. And God was simply fixing up what was missing there because he has the spare part. There is no need that God has not provided for in your life. You just have to pay the price and do what pleases him so that he may minister to you the provision. He already has it. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say to your neighbor, it's only in Christ, not anywhere else. Amen. So let us hold fast. In other words, let us be bold to not give up in our walk of faith because of Jesus. Our faith starts and ends with Jesus, has nothing to do with us. Verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So say to your neighbor, Jesus knows exactly what you are going through. He has been through it before, just for you. So he knows how to help you. Amen. So no man knows what you are going through. People can comfort you, but they don't really know the feeling like you know. You know, like we always say, nobody knows how the shoe is hurting you because their shoe is different from your own. they may counsel you and say, oh bro, you know, don't worry, just take it easy. But they don't know how you are really hurting. But there is somebody who knows. That is Jesus. He knows exactly what you are going through. He knows exactly how you are feeling in that situation. He knows exactly how to help you because he's been through it before. And not only has he been through it before, he has been through it successfully and victoriously. So whatsoever advice he gives you will work. Let's call Jesus the expert. He is the expert. No man is the expert, only Jesus. Because no man has been through what you are going through. Everybody has their own experiences in life. But Jesus has been through it. That's what the Bible is saying here. So he knows how to help you. And then in verse 16, it says, let us therefore, in other words, with all this knowledge and understanding, let us therefore come boldly. Please underline your Bible, the key word boldly. Boldly, boldly, boldly. Come boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not the throne of works, but the throne of grace. You see, every time you find the word grace in the Bible, you have to understand that it has nothing to do with your own human effort, but everything to do with Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus brought us grace. In John chapter 1, Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when Bible says you come to the throne of grace, just understand that you have to forget about what you can do as a human being and rely absolutely on Jesus. In fact, that's what this old chapter of Hebrews chapter 4 and the previous chapter, chapter 3, is teaching us. It's not by us now. It's not by our own human effort. It is by what Jesus has already done for us. And we have to understand that. That's why by our faith we enter into the rest of Jesus Christ in that area of our life where we have the need, because Jesus has already done the works for us from the foundation of the world. In fact, put your finger right there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. So we have to understand from the word of God the difference between grace and works. You know, many times when we talk about grace, we don't allow the full impact of that word to settle in our hearts. That's why our faith in most cases is not as it should be, because faith and grace work together in harmony. Faith is always the doorway into the grace of God. And if you are not really clear about what grace is, your faith cannot access it, you see. Your faith must get you into the grace of God, not into your own human effort. If your faith is based on your human effort, it is counterfeit in the sight of God. Because there is no works you and I can do that can please God. Only Jesus pleased God the Father at all points. So God accepted the works of Jesus, and we enter into that finished work by our faith now in Christ Jesus, the living Word. Now in Romans chapter 11, let us read together. I'll just get the verse out for you. Verse 6. All right, thank you very much. Verse 6. Let's read that together. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. When you get home, please take time to study that and reflect on it. Because Bible is clear about the difference between grace and works. If it is of grace, then forget about your own works. Because Jesus brought us grace, having finished the work for us, and God accepted the works of Christ and brought grace so that every one of us now can enter into the finished work of Christ by our faith in Him. The access is grace. Thank God for grace. Say to your neighbor, thank God for grace. The grace of God never fails. It is sufficient for us, even in our weaknesses. Amen. All right. So we are to come boldly unto the throne of grace. So we are to come with confidence. The word boldly there literally means confidence. Be confident in Jesus Christ. Be confident in His high priesthood. Be confident in who Jesus is and what He has already done for you. And come on that basis in prayer to receive help in the time of need. Say to your neighbor, there's help for you in the time of need. Only through Jesus. Not through any man. Only Jesus. Amen. So, therefore, in summary, please get your pen and paper as we look at that word boldly. So, if you are going to come boldly, because if you don't come boldly, you can't get to the throne of grace, you see. It's like God telling you, if you want to come to a particular city, you need to get on so-so-so bus or so-so-so train. That's the only train that can take you there. But then you decide to go and get on another train. You never get to where you're supposed to get to. You end up in the wrong place. I know every one of us here, sometime I've got on the wrong train. Sometimes when you get to Victoria Station, if you don't look very well, you just jump on a train. You may end up in a place you didn't want to go to. So you have to make sure you get on the right train to get to the right destination. So God has told us how to get to where we are to get help. The place is called the throne of grace. And the way to get there, Bible says, is by coming with boldness. So what does that mean? That's what we want to look at now. Get your pen and paper. Please write this down. So if you are to come with boldness, there are four key things that we find in Scripture helping us to understand how to come to God with confidence, with courage, without any timidity, and without any form of doubt. Number one, which God always says to us when He sends His angel to us or speaks to us in any situation, is don't fear. Say to your neighbor, don't fear when you have a need. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear the need. Don't fear anybody. Don't fear anything. No matter what the need may be, don't you be afraid. Because the moment you allow fear in, faith cannot work anymore for you. See, the devil uses fear as a weapon to paralyze our faith. The devil is very cunning, very crafty. Don't underestimate him. He is the source of fear, because Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where is the fear coming from? It's not from God. It's from the devil. He is the one that intimidates people. Remember how Goliath will come out in the morning and stand on the hill and intimidate the whole camp of Israel, and every one of them will run into hiding. All the soldiers of Israel will run into hiding, even including King Saul with all his armor. But thank God for David. Somebody who knew God. Somebody who had faith in God. Somebody who had what could stop the weapon of the enemy. Because when you have faith, fear cannot operate. The two of them can't operate together. Where faith is present, fear is absent. And where fear is present, faith is absent. So somebody called David, who had faith in God, came on the scene. And the same Goliath came in the morning and threatened Israel, and all of them ran away. And this little boy stood and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? And he was just a little boy. But he knew how to trust in God. And his faith overcame Goliath. See what we are talking about? How come all his elder brothers and King Saul and the whole army could not stand against the devil? Because they were afraid. So faith could not work, and yet they were covenant children of God. They should have been doing what David did. They should have said, well, who is this Goliath standing and trying to intimidate the people of God? We are God's children. God is for us. God is on our side. Let's go after him in the name of the Lord. And they would have destroyed the Philistines, because God would have given them the victory like he did to David. God is no man's respecter of persons. If you just have faith in God, it doesn't matter where you are coming from. If you have faith in God, God will back you up to the very end, because God is the God of faith. Wherever God finds faith, he will show up. And he will show himself strong in the behalf of the person. And that was how he helped David to defeat Goliath. So the first thing, if you are going to come to the throne of grace to get help in a time of need, is do not be afraid, or don't fear. In front of that, I'm going to give you scriptures, and please go home and study them, because we don't have time to look at every one of them. We may look at one or two here and there. Isaiah chapter 41 verses 10 to 14. Please study that very well when you get home. It's such a beautiful passage of scripture to encourage every one of us as Christians. It does not matter what may come against you. Do not be afraid, because God is with you. God is with you. And not only is God with you, in that passage of scripture, he said, I will help you. In other words, I'm not just with you, I'm there to help you. So therefore, don't be afraid of the need. Don't be afraid of the situation. Don't fear, because I'm with you, I will help you. And not only so, if you read that passage well, God said, all those who are against you, he will defeat them. Let's just summarize. He will defeat them for you. So you don't need to be afraid then. Isn't that wonderful? Secondly, Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 to 3. Again, we see David, who wrote that psalm, declaring his faith in God, saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Isn't that wonderful? And David is a man like you and I. How come we are afraid? We need to ask ourselves that question. David lived under the old covenant. He said he would not be afraid. We are living under a better covenant. Some of us are even afraid of our shadow. How much more the devil? I tell you, some Christians, when you say the devil, they'll say, no, please, don't trouble him. Let sleeping dogs lie. Don't get the devil annoyed. They've forgotten that God has already given them authority over all the power of the devil. The devil is afraid of you. But you see, when you don't know anything, it will scare you and it will get you to be afraid of him. Because the devil knows that you have power and authority over him. He doesn't have anything over you. But he's a liar and a deceiver. Bible says the devils believe, they tremble, they shake. But you are a believer, you are bold. You are not shaking in terror. You are bold to stand strong, bold in the Lord, to say, praise God. If God be for us, none can be against. But the devil believes the same thing, he's shaking like this because he knows if you just stand on the word of God, it's finished because God will show up. And yet many Christians are afraid of the devil. They keep running up and down. Some of them will run to you and say, you need to pray. Pray quick. And then you ask them, what's the problem? Just pray. What are you to pray? Just pray. Quick. Don't waste time. Pray. You know, fear has already overcome them. When you see somebody, I just know they are already full of fear. Tell them, calm down. There's nothing to make you agitate like this. Call upon the name of Jesus. The name above all names, that name will give you the victory. He's no respecter of persons. The devil knows that name. Knows the authority of that name. If you speak that name in faith, the devil will run away. So as simple as that, it has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Jesus. Number two thing to do in the time of need, in order to get help at the throne of grace, is don't worry. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, don't worry. We all know what Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says. Don't be anxious. In other words, don't worry about anything. God didn't say worry about some things, then some other things, don't worry about them. Oh, worry about the things that look impossible. Then those that look maybe slightly possible, then there's hope for that, so don't worry about that. But the one that is impossible, in your own estimation, you need to worry about that. A sleepless night. No, my Bible tells me God gives his beloved sleep. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late, eating the bread of sorrows. And yet many of us as Christians still eat the bread of sorrows. Some Christians can't go to bed at night because they worry too much. They worry, and then they are afraid, and they are all messed up just because they are focusing on the wrong thing. We have to look to Jesus. We don't look at our circumstances, because when you look at your circumstances, I don't care how spiritual you are, the circumstances will overwhelm you. Because storms of life, they are there, sent by the enemy to defeat us, to overwhelm us. But when we look to Jesus, we have the victory. You don't deny the fact that you have a need or you have trouble, but you are looking to the solution. You know, when we went to school, the primary school, the first thing they taught us was how to use the eraser to clean out anything you do wrong. If you are trying to write, particularly when we are trying to do letter writing, learning to write A, B, so they'll tell you, if you are trying to write and you don't write it well on the line, just rub it off and write again. Because you had the eraser, you had confidence. Now if I make mistake, I'll clean it and write the right thing. As long as you have the solution, you don't have any problem. The only time you have a problem is if there is no solution. Say to your neighbor, you have a ready, always available solution. His name is Jesus. He never fails. So don't worry. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Number three thing to do in order to come boldly is to believe, or if you like, have faith in God and his word. Have faith in God and his word. I'm emphasizing that. Have faith in God and his word. Many of us as believers have faith in God, but we don't have faith in his word. And that's where we run into problem. Because the fact that you have faith in God doesn't mean you have faith in his word. Oh, I believe God. Oh, I believe God. I believe God for my healing. I believe God for... Yet, I'm still full of doubt within. So what's wrong with me? There's no Christian that will say they don't believe in God. But how many of us really believe His word? We know God and His word are one and the same, but we have to understand that the only way you can walk with God is through believing His word. Hallelujah. And Bible differentiates between the two, not in terms of, you know, cutting them apart, but helping us to understand that we need to do both of them alike. I believe God. All right, then show that belief by believing His word. In front of that, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 20 and John chapter 14 verse 1. I want us to look at those two scriptures so that we can clarify it very well. Because many times we shortchange ourselves. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Fine. Ah, I know God and His word I want, so I believe God. And because I believe God, I already believe His word. No, 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 no. You can believe God and not believe His word. You need to study the Bible again. When you get home, read also Mark chapter 16 and look at the disciples of Jesus. How Jesus rebuked them even after His resurrection. They walked with Him for 3.5 years. They believed that He was the Son of God, the Messiah. Even Peter said, "You are Christ," by revelation. And yet, he doubted His resurrection. And Jesus had to rebuke them. Bible says, He upbraided them for their unbelief. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the day of Pentecost that changed all of them. So don't think that because you're a Christian, you're already a believer. You know, you're a believer in God, but it doesn't mean you are believing His word until you yourself take time to soak yourself in the word and let the word of Christ abide in you and settle in your heart so that you begin to live by the word. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, thank God that even under the old covenant, this king caught a revelation of what we all need to know now. See, God is no respecter of persons. Everybody that walked with Him at one time or another, the Holy Spirit was able to guide their hearts in the right way to get help from God. Because Jehoshaphat needed help from God, together with Judah, the people that he was king over, the people of God. And he had cried to God for help. And now look at what he said unto the people. Verse 20, let us read together. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper." Amen. Notice what he's saying. Believe in the Lord your God. That's believing in God. That's how you are going to be established. In other words, that's how you are going to stand solid and immovable. Because God cannot be moved. He cannot be shaken. But then don't end it there. You have to believe His prophet. What does that signify? The word of God. Because the prophets of God speak the word of God. So you believe in God, okay, but you have to also believe in His word in order to prosper, in order to make progress, in order to accomplish the expected end. If you don't believe the word of God, and you just say you believe in God, how are you going to get to where God wants you to get to in life? God Himself cannot do anything apart from His word. Remember, everything God created, He created by the word. And there is nothing that God is doing now that is not done by His word. He upholds all things by the word of His power. That's why when we say to Christians, take time to study the Bible, we are saying the right thing to one another. If you encourage me to study my Bible, you are doing me good because you are putting me in a position where I'm going to prosper. The same thing God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8. You meditate in the word, that's the only way you are going to make your way prosperous and have good success. Not just by knowing me as God. Joshua already knew God. He was living in the tabernacle. He knew the presence of God. But God said, well, you need to meditate in the word. That's the only way you are going to prosper. And that's what Jehoshaphat himself is saying here. That's the only way you are going to prosper. You have to believe the word of God. Don't just believe God alone. Believe his word. Take time to study and find out. And the same thing Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. That's Jesus himself saying that. You believe in God? You have to believe also in me. Who is Jesus? The word. You say you believe in God? You have to also believe in the word of God. That's the only way you're going to prosper. Finally, number four. You need to pray. The prayer of faith. If you are going to come boldly to the throne of grace, you have to come with the prayer of faith. And that prayer of faith must be said in the name of Jesus. So write it as such. Say, I need to pray the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. In other words, you are focusing on Jesus. Not even your ability to pray. Not yourself doing the praying. Because the devil is a tactician, you know. If you focus on yourself while praying, the devil will tell you, say, well, you are not praying hard enough. I'm telling you the truth. He's done that to every one of us. So if you don't know the truth, you listen to him and it will distract you from your prayer. I say, look at you, you are praying now. Yesterday you were driving down the road. Remember that person that crossed you? You curse him. And Bible says, this same tongue that used to bless God, you can't use it to curse. How then do you think you can pray now and God will hear you? You know, that's the devil for you. If you don't know the truth, you listen to him and it will distract your focus. You say, no, that's nothing to do with me. What I did then, I confess. The blood of Jesus took care of that. And for your information, Mr. Devil, I'm not praying in my name. So it's not about my meriting the help. It's by Jesus who has pleased the Father. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Then the devil will shut up. Because when you begin to declare that name, he will shut up. He knows exactly the authority that is in that name. So pray the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. Write the scriptures down and read them up when you get home. John chapter 14 verses 13 and 14. John chapter 16 verses 23 and 24. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Everything you ask in the name of Jesus, whether asking Jesus directly or asking God the Father in the name of Jesus, you will get it. Why? Because that name is above every other name. So the way we come to the throne of grace is by doing those four things. So let's go over the list again. Number one, do not fear. So say to your neighbor, no matter what your need may be, don't be afraid. Number two, do not worry. So say to your neighbor, whatever your need may be, don't worry. Number three, believe God and his word. So say to your neighbor, no matter what your need may be, have faith in God and his word. Number four, pray the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. So say to your neighbor, whatever your need may be, pray, standing upon the promises of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all we need to do. That's all we need to do. No more, no less. In the time of need, come boldly. God says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. And when you get to that throne of grace, you will obtain mercy. I love God. God, first of all, put mercy in place so that you can be in a position to enjoy the best. You know, mercy means whatsoever you have done wrong is forgiven. Even if the reason why you have the need is because of ignorance or foolishness. You know, many times we do foolish things and get ourselves into trouble. the mercy of God will first of all take care of that. You know, that will help you to be bold. I say, well, so what I did wrong can't stand in the way of my getting help from God, because the mercy of God takes care of it. The first thing you get when you get to the throne of grace is mercy. So don't condemn yourself and don't let the devil condemn you. You say, devil, shut up. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever thing I did wrong, God has forgiven me. Because I confessed it, the blood of Jesus has taken care of it. Now I'm bold to stand before God and be blessed. And nothing can stop me from being blessed. You see, every time we come to God with a heart of faith, God will bless us. Put your finger there before we pray tonight or this morning. Turn with me quickly, even to the Old Testament. You see, God is the same. Old and New Testament alike. Turn with me to Psalm 107. Don't let the devil, you know, rob you of God's best for your life. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. You tell him to shut up. I say, devil, you don't have any mouth to speak in anything concerning me, because you are not part of the family of God. I belong in the family of God, and you don't belong, devil. We are talking family business now. I'm talking business with my father. We are family. Devil, you are not part of the family, so get out of the way. You need to begin to speak to him that way. Don't let him talk you out of God's best for you. Say, well, God can't help you because of what you did. You know, you did this, you did that. And then he'll come up with long list of what you have done wrong and condemn you. And then if you listen to him, you feel useless, truly. But you tell him, shut up, devil. Look at what Bible says here. I love this. Psalm 107. Let's read together from verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he severed them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. See this? Isn't that wonderful? Look at verse 17. The reason why they were afflicted was because of their foolishness and their sin. And yet God blessed them when they turned to him. Isn't that wonderful? How many people will come to you today as a human being? They've acted foolishly and they're in trouble because of that. Unless you have the Spirit of God within you, you tell them, well, good for you. You have to reap what you have sown. Your foolishness will teach you a lesson. When you suffer well, you learn next time not to be foolish. I've always told you not to be foolish, but you don't listen. Now you are foolish. Look at what your foolishness has caused you. You have to go through it. Feel the pain so that you may learn the lesson. That's how we are as human beings. In fact, we'll even gloat a little bit. We think we are wise. You see, they are foolish. They are suffering for their foolishness. But not God. You see, God now. That's why don't let the devil talk you out of your best. You tell Mr. Devil, shut up, Mr. Devil. God is compassionate. Even if I've caused this problem for myself because of my foolishness, if I turn to God, God will take care of it for me. Wonderful God. Now, wherever your need may be, I want you to turn your attention to God this morning before we go. You are in his presence. He is here. We've shared the basic things we all need to know in order to come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace, not works, grace to help us in the time of need. It doesn't matter what your need may be. God did not specify the kind of need here. Any need, be it spiritual, be it emotional, be it physical, need in any aspect of life. God says, look to Jesus as your high priest. Remember him, that he has passed through the heavens for you. And he can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows exactly what you are going through. He knows how to help you. And because of that, come boldly. Come in the name of Jesus. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Have faith in God and His word. And pray. And pray. Jesus said, ask. Ask that you may receive, so that your joy may be full. Ask. Doesn't God know my need? Yes, it knows, but He wants you to ask. Because your asking is the means of your humbling yourself to say, God, you are my source of help. So go ahead. Say to yourself, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Christ. I am not afraid of my need. I'm not afraid of the devil who is causing me trouble. I'm a believer in Christ. I'm not worried about my need. I'm a believer in Christ. I believe the word of God concerning my need. Whatsoever God has said about my need, I believe with all my heart. If God said, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. If God said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God said, 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but shall not come near me, I believe that nothing wrong with the world around me will come near me. That's what it means. You believe the word of God. Forget about your own human understanding. How shall this thing be? Even if God were to open the windows of heaven, shall it be? No, no, no. Forget about your human understanding. Remember, we are talking about the throne of grace, not the throne of works. So all your own efforts don't matter there. You come by faith and enter into rest in Jesus Christ. Cease from your own works, because you are coming to get it by grace. You are not coming to get it because of you. You are coming to get it because of Jesus, your great high priest. So forget about whether you think you merit it or not. It has nothing to do with your own effort. And whatsoever you've done wrong, don't think that will hinder you. Just confess it and get boldly, because you can't go to that throne of grace timidly. You have to get there boldly with courage, because you are relying on Jesus, not on man, not on yourself. Be bold to believe God that He will do what He has promised, and then pray. So whatsoever you need, just ask the Father. Oh, and when we talk about prayer, it doesn't mean you have to be there, you know, crying to God all day. Pray the prayer of faith, we said. Pray agreeing with the word of God. And give thanks to God. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, Bible says. So whatsoever the need may be, just talk to God on the basis of what He has promised you regarding that need. And say, Father, I believe You. I believe Your word. And I'm asking You to do as You have promised. Because I know You are not a man that You should lie, neither are You the son of man that You should repent. I know that You never fail, O God, to keep Your word. I don't know how You are going to do it. I don't know when You are going to do it. But I know sure and certain You will never fail to do it. And so I'm expecting Your word to come to pass in this area of my need. Because You are the God who never fails. And if you've done that, lift your hands to Him and thank Him. You see, faith brings you into rest. Not your own works. You are coming to the throne of grace. So don't get at that throne of grace and be there, you know, beating the door. And you want to knock the gate down. Oh, God, knock the gate down. Oh, let's bombard the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven is not shut against you. You are a child of the kingdom, so you don't need to bombard the gate. The gate is open. Enter in by faith and lay hold upon what belongs to You in Christ Jesus. Lift your hands to God and thank Him. Father, I give You thanks and praise. for everyone under the sound of my voice. We have shared your word in the simplicity that you have enabled us to share this morning. And now we pray that what we have shared, you help us to understand better when we go back home to study. And also you help us not to be forgetful hearers. For you said in your word that the Holy Spirit will bring back to our remembrance what we have heard. Because we need to know what to do in the time of need. Every day we are going to have situations where we need help from you. Help us to remember this truth you have shared with us. That no matter the need, we must not fear. We must not worry. We must believe you and believe your word. And we must pray in faith in the name of Jesus. And grant us the grace to do so daily, Lord, that we may be bold to receive the help that is available to us at the throne of grace in the time of need. Keep everyone under the sound of my voice as the apple of your eyes. And let everyone have a testimony of your goodness every day for your own glory and for the fullness of their joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Praise God. Give someone a holy handshake and say, thank God for Jesus. He's my great high priest. And he's seated at the throne of grace, always waiting for me to come and get help in the time of need. Amen.